you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Justin Duckham. An agreement has finally been reached to restore government funding and raise the country's debt limit. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid announced today that he and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell struck a deal. McConnell confirmed the deal shortly thereafter.
This has been a long, challenging few weeks for Congress and for the country.
The Senate is expected to vote on the plan this evening. While McConnell spoke on the Senate floor, conservative Senator Ted Cruz spoke to reporters in a nearby hallway, telling them that he won't filibuster against the measure. Though Cruz and other conservatives will vote against the bill, it should see enough votes and support to send it over to the House. There, House Speaker John Boehner has agreed to put it up for a vote, despite the fact that several Republicans don't support it, but Democrats do, which is why the legislation will likely pass. Once it does, it will go directly to the White House for President Obama's signature, and hundreds of thousands of furloughed federal employees could be back in the job as early as tomorrow. Justin Duckham, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
ConservativeNationMedia.com, and this Wednesday, October 16th, of Radio Free America, Keith Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. The Republicans cave, that's basically, I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it. I want the government to stay shut down, like, you know, permanently, if possible. But the Republicans caved. And now we're going to have Obamacare, which is going to cost millions of people their lives. There is absolutely no question that, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with delivering health care. What it does have to do with is exercising control over people. That is the deal. You know, that's all there is to it. They're not motivated by the milk of human kindness. What they're motivated by is their naked raw lust to be perpetually reelected and to exercise power over other people. That's it. You don't think so? Hey, that's all right. 718-305-7176. I know there's some people out there that think that the congressmen and the senators are a bunch of angels. That's, you know, what they are. They're all angels, every one of them. Their motivations are so wonderful. The fact of the matter is their motivations are to be reelected. They don't have any other motivations. That's all they want. You know, I mean, I would want to keep a job like that as long as possible, too. But that isn't something that the Constitution guarantees those folks. A lot of them act as if that job is just their property and no one has the right to fire them. We have the right to fire them. We have the right to fire them. The Republicans that voted for this deal ought to be thrown out. It's that simple. 718-305-7176. If you agree or disagree, I've got somebody that's going to be joined. Let me tell you what's going to be going on tonight. This is going to be very interesting. I've got a good friend of mine, has been for 28 years, named Ed Troy. He'll be calling in from Colorado. He refers to himself as the liberal gladiator. And we're going to try to have a calm, cool, and collected civil debate on the issues. Obamacare, the national debt, the scale, scope, size, cost, and reach of the federal government. That's pretty much what we're going to be talking about tonight. All the philosophical things that delineate patriotic conservatives from treasonous left-wing liberals. It should be a lot of fun. That's going to happen in about 13 minutes. 718-305-7176 is the number. Right now, the state of New Jersey is voting for a new United States senator. I think that the polls close in half an hour or 55 minutes or something. The people that are running is Cory Booker, who is the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, the largest city in the state. It's right across the river from New York City. It is one of the most crime-ridden places in the country. It's very unsafe. You don't want to go there. He's running as the Democrat, of course. And this guy named Steve Lonergan, who was the mayor of a small town called Pagoda, New Jersey, or Bogota, New Jersey, something like that. He is running as the Republican. He's blind. He's a blind guy. I mean, he wears glasses. I don't think he walks around with one of those canes with a red tip on it or anything. But apparently his vision is, at best, really, really, really bad. And he's the Republican candidate. You may recall several weeks ago, I had a lady, a physician, on the air here on this program whose name was Alita Eck, E-C-K. And she is a practicing doctor, as is her husband. She was running for the Republican nomination. I was kind of hoping that she would get it. We really do need more physicians and fewer lawyers in the Congress and in the U.S. Senate. I mean, am I right about that? 718-305-7176 is the number. I hope you're going to have a happy Halloween, by the way. Now, here, let me listen. You know, Mitch McConnell is a Republican. He is the senior senator from Kentucky. He is the Senate Minority Leader. This is from Louisville, WFPL News, and via the Drudge Report, McConnell Reed deal includes $2 billion earmark for a Kentucky project by Philip Bailey, a proposal to end the government shutdown and avoid default, orchestrated by Republican leader Mitch McConnell and Democrat leader Harry Reid, includes a $2 billion earmark for a Kentucky project. Language in a draft of the McConnell-Reid deal provided to WFPL News shows a provision that increases funding for the massive Olmsted Dam lock in Louisville from $775 million to nearly $2.9 billion. The dam is considered an important project for the state and region in regards to water traffic along the Ohio River. Excuse me, I'm not really sure why I'm so tired, but I don't know, maybe it was a big dinner. Here's the deal. Mitch McConnell, a Kentucky senator, the senior senator, is going to get a big, giant, earmarked project in Kentucky. I've got to be honest with you, this is wrongful, absolutely wrongful. You know, it looks like he agreed to cave to the left as long as they agreed to give him billions of dollars for a new dam project in his home, the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I mean, that just has hook and heel written all over it. All he said, the only reason he's doing that is so that he can count on the votes of the people back home in Kentucky to reelect him. That is all that it is. It doesn't have anything to do with flood control or the Corps of Engineers says that. It has nothing to do with anything. It is simply he wants to get perpetually reelected. He has been there an awfully long time. I know he is a Republican, but it's time for him to go. It's time for all of them to go. They've all been in there for too long. I think the only exception is Andy Harris. He's now in his second term as a U.S. congressman. I mean, I really, you know, even that... Well, two terms, 4 years in the U.S., that's probably enough. If you can't get done what you're supposed to get done in that amount of time, then you need to move on and not run for reelection. Andy Harris, Maryland 1st District Congressman, a good guy, absolutely a good guy. But, you know, if he I don't know. I mean, I'll have him on the show at some point. He is a physician. He is a former, I believe, a commander in the U.S. Navy Medical Corps, went over to Desert Storm. But I'm sure that we'll have him on the air at one point. And, you know, his parents escaped from Hungary to come to this country because they wanted to get away from socialism and communism. And now the U.S. Congress, obviously, even some Republicans are looking at the Soviet Union in the 1950s and 60s, and they're saying, hey, you know, that looks pretty good to us. That looks pretty good to us. We just love that idea of the centrally planned economy where money is not earned, it is distributed. That's what they like. That's what those permanently entrenched career legislators at the federal level, the House and the Senate, that's what they like. They just love having all that control. Doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They are not interested in the private liberties and the constitutional rights of American citizens. They're interested in getting the government to be even bigger. That's what they're all about. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Good evening, Robert. How are you doing tonight, pal? Got a couple of people in the chat room. Very glad. More will arrive. More will arrive. I am certain that Ed Troy has told quite a few people that he's going to be on this program tonight. I'm pretty sure of it. Ed has been on. Now then, we have a big following, too, here at conservativenationmedia.com. We start off the work week every Monday in a really big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. That would be the U.S., us, as it were. We're Americans. I suspect that Christian from Denmark may be joining us later on this evening. He may call in during the second hour of this program. Great guy. I really want him to somehow I want to get into America. I have spoken with the right people at the company. We're going to detail somebody, and that's probably going to be me, to see if we can figure out a way to get Christian some air tickets to Copenhagen, America, for a couple of days. Get him down into Texas. Get him some biscuits, barbecue, you know. Maybe get him to a NASCAR race or an NFL game. The guy's a conservative. If he lived in America, he would be a conservative Republican. I absolutely guarantee it. There are right-thinking people in this world. There are some right-thinking people in this world. Sadly, there are not enough of us. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, this recent thing in D.C., they're going to go ahead and raise the debt limit. They're going to jam Obamacare down everybody's throat. There's some people that are saying, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be really just and really fair because everyone's going to be equal. Well, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Look, it's one thing to treat everyone under the law as if they are equal. It is something else altogether to try to use the law to force people to be equal. Those are different things. They are very, very different. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour here. Going to take a brief break. When I come back, Ed Troy will be with us. and our debate about the value of certain philosophies will begin. So you stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. And I am expecting Ed Floyd, the so-called liberal gladiator, to be calling in at any moment. I see several people now maneuvering around in the chat room. Very, very happy that... that you're here. I have to try to contact Ed Floyd. I'm not really sure what's up today. So focused earlier this morning on calling at exactly the right time. And, you know, that's one of those things. Who knows? You know, we're just going to have to try to get up with him. I guess I'm not surprised at how much attention was paid by the media over the so-called shutdown. It was not a shutdown. 17% of the government workers were laid off. You know, I've got to be honest with you, that is not a really big deal. And I'm just, you know, media, however, is run by liberal Democrats. Let's face it, the vast majority of people that work in media and in the entertainment field and in news in this country are liberal Democrats. There isn't any question about that. They have been in control of it for a very, very long time. And I often wonder what are we going to be able to do to stop this and to change it, because it simply is not right that only one side in this national dialogue of ours, which clearly has become a challenge, only one side would be able to control the dialogue itself and the content thereof. And until talk radio existed, the traditional media model was ideal for the Democrats and the liberals that controlled it, because they could put out their editorials, they could write their columns, they could cover their news either on radio, on TV, newspaper, or magazine, could do all those things, and they never had their ideas held up to any scrutiny because they didn't have to. I mean, if, you know, as they say, freedom of press belongs to the guy that owns the press. It's that simple. And the fact of the matter is, you had people in Washington like the Grahams that owned the Washington Post for decades. You have people like the Sulzbergers in New York that own the New York Times and all of those other. The Gannett Corporation is basically liberal central in this country. And they will not, under any circumstances, allow a conservative as a reporter. Earlier today, I spoke with a Gannett reporter. You know, that's a completely different job than this one. I'm not really sure I'm going to mention any names. Maybe I will at some point. I don't know. You think I should? You think I should say exactly who it was and what paper he works for? Share your thoughts, 718-305-7176. But I had a conversation with him. He called me to ask me about some thoughts about the you know, the budget situation and how the Republicans did. And you know, I told him I wish that the Republicans had not caved and that I was opposed to Obamacare. And you know, I told him that, you know, for some reason we began speaking about the you know, things in general. He's a great guy. And I mentioned to him, I said, there is no way that I would ever, ever get hired by him because I am a conservative. And, sir, you and I both know that your company does not hire conservatives. And he said, well, Jim DeMint now has a column that runs in our paper. There it is. And instead of arguing with him, I said, well, yeah, gee whiz, I guess you're right, yeah, well. Instead of doing that, you know, I was just like, okay, fine, you know, whatever. The fact of the matter is, just because a newspaper has 30 focused liberal Democrats that cover news stories, and they get an out-of-state column, that is a conservative, does not mean that they are balanced. Far from it. Let me welcome my friend Ed Troy to Radio Free America. Ed, welcome aboard, pal.
How are you, Duke? Great to hear your voice. Great to hear your show, man.
Oh, man, I'm very glad that you're on the air with us. How are things out there in Colorado?
Well, we did have our second significant snowfall, and the autumnal leaves have begun to change in a very big way here lately, so hopefully our drought conditions are beginning to end, and we don't have to worry about the state burning to the ground.
Yeah, I think that that would be a very, very bad thing. You know, I don't want anything to burn to the ground. Well, maybe the Democrats. I've always kind of wanted them to burn to the ground, but I digress. Now, you call yourself the liberal gladiator, and that's fine. And I'm curious. You seem to be pretty much a supporter of the imperfectly named Affordable Care Act. And I was wondering if you would care to simply articulate your reasons for being in support of what most people refer to as Obamacare.
Well, there's a few things that I think are very important about it. And the thing is, that does concern me greatly, is the idea that people who are very, very sick and, number one, end up being vectors, you know, spreading pathogens. So if you've got someone in this country without health care and they have a communicable disease that can't be treated, I don't think it's a good idea for someone, for instance, to, I mean, not that anyone would get Ebola or something like that here. God, hope, you know, help us if that does happen. But if something like that were to happen, I would want to know that that person would be comfortable by going to the hospital to put a cap on that immediately, as soon as possible, instead of waiting and spreading it to tens of thousands of people. We don't need any contagions in this country. And then the second thing is that I think it's also important that that we get as many people out of the emergency room clinics, which are one of the huge drivers in terms of expense to fully privatized medical care in this country, accepting Medicare and Medicaid and that type of thing. But those are the main.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I also, do think that this country should have a moral calling to take care of its citizens in a way that allows those people to be more productive throughout life. And if we take a look at doing preventive medicine, preventive care, people can work longer, live longer, be more productive, and contribute, obviously, to the economy and the well-being of this country a little bit better, rather than a lot of people supporting through their private medical answers, as my wife and I have right now, those do not, and drive up the cost through emergency room visits, which they use as health care. And that is a very huge thing, because that actually probably adds somewhere I would imagine somewhere in a 15% to maybe 20%, almost like a surcharge to your health care in terms of what you get out of it, simply because people are using so many emergency room clinics.
Well, that's certainly one of the things that does raise the cost of health care in this country. You and I are not in agreement on the idea that it is the rightful and normal and natural place of government to be involved in the delivery of medical care to people. I simply don't believe the government has any business being in there, and I believe that two factors that began to dramatically raise the price of medicine in this country is when the Great Society programs of LBJ kicked in with Medicare and Medicaid, because what those did is they added a whole bunch of dollars into that sector of the economy. And when you just pump money into a sector of the economy or into a particular industry, what is going to happen? Well, those industries are going to begin charging more money because they know that there is more there and it's more available. So I think that raised rates a great deal. And I also think that having juries awarding millions of dollars to people for what could be anywhere from not particularly serious or egregious at all medical malpractice up to things that are very serious and are very egregious, that raises the cost of medical providers' insurance. And that's one of the big components in costs, is the insurance that a physician or other healthcare provider has to have. So, I'm thinking that the right thing to do, we're going to take a break in a moment, but let me throw this out to you. The right thing to do is to simply reduce the amount of money that is coming in to the medical field, and secondly, put caps on jury awards so that the cost of medical insurance will not be so high. That's my thinking. Now, we've got just a couple of seconds here. You want to respond to that after we come back from this break, buddy?
Absolutely.
All right. I'll give you some time to think that over a little bit. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Ed. Go again. I'm sorry.
I know. I was saying I could respond to it right now, but if you need your station break, then by all means, let's do that.
Yeah, we've got a break, and I'm going to come back to you in about 2 minutes, so just hang in there with me. Now, then, I am presuming, I don't know how big of a presumption this is, but I am presuming that if you're listening to me right now on conservativenationradio.org, I'm presuming you are probably a conservative. That means that you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in a man-generated emergency. Now, since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. It's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. More with Ed Troy, your calls, and more conservatives versus liberals on Radio Free America coming up after this, so don't go away.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. That, of course, the inimitable Eric Clapton playing lead guitar on While My Guitar Gently Weeps by George Harrison. That's just one of those things I can't get enough of. Ed, thanks for hanging around. I wanted to ask you something. Well, why don't you go ahead and you can take on that statement that I made a couple of moments ago before the break about what has raised the cost of medicine and what could be done to reduce it in this country. Let's hear your thoughts.
Well, you did bring up the idea of lawsuits, and some of them absolutely can be frivolous. There's no question about it. And I'm not against the idea of what you conservatives would call tort reform. I'm absolutely not against that at all. I do want to say that tort reform, at least from every analytical study I've taken a look at, would only provide about 1% reduction in savings. And the biggest drivers are, again, the emergency room clinics. And the second thing that I've seen in all those analytical studies is actually the huge amount of overhead that goes to the privatized insurance company, because they don't actually provide health care. You have to actually pay them to determine whether you're going to actually get health care. Health care comes from your doctor, comes from your nurse, I mean, heck, from your witch doctor, but it does not come from the insurance company. And so one way or another, eliminating the intermediary of these private corporations, I believe, would help a great deal. And I furthermore think that if doctors were involved simply with primarily providing preventive medicine, we prevent some of the catastrophic drivers of emergency health care in a crisis situation. That's where expenses become exceedingly expensive. And that right there is also is the rest of the inflated costs of health care that we have in our country. So your health care plan, my health care plan, are used to subsidize emergency room clinics, and yes, the tort reform you're bringing up, frivolous lawsuits, and the bureaucratic payout going to privatized corporations acting as intermediaries between you and your healthcare provider. Those are the things that I would like to see gone as much as possible. Now, the advantages of what I would prefer would be, you know, the single payer system, and that would actually, just because of scale of economy, prices significantly, and that would probably take about 30% off the entire cost. And so when you take a look at the Canadian system, they have 1% going to the bureaucracy. In our system, it is 30% going to the bureaucracy, meaning CEOs, accountants, and people who are going to determine whether you actually even get health care or not. Whereas there, you don't have to worry about it. You go, and instead of waiting for a melanoma to become, stage 4 or stage 3, you can catch it at stage 1, and they'll do something about it to prevent exceptionally high costs from happening down the road. Plus, they keep people out of the emergency room clinics because they simply go in a lot earlier. So you don't have to worry about, so the person finds out if they've got some kind of cardiovascular problem instead of waiting for a cardiovascular problem to actually happen. I want to be able to stop those kinds of expenses as they are completely unnecessary. It is a squandering of American dollars. People who are not actually providing a product, a service, they're not creating wealth, they are not innovating, and they are certainly not inventing. They are simply serving as distributions of capital. And that is something that I don't like happening if someone is not actually making something or doing something to earn it.
Well,
what do you think about it?
I think that's fine. It sounds to me like that is at least a tacit acknowledgement of the idea that money is a physical representation of human productivity. It's in an exchangeable and a tangible form. And that's what money is. And when people say that, and these are liberals that say this, that it is a central defining duty, obligation, and an absolute right of government to redistribute money and to confiscate money from those who are earning a lot of it and to simply give it away to those who are not, that, of course, will destroy the value of the money, because our money is not backed up with gold anymore. It is valuable. It's fiat currency. The government says it's valuable. And if you try to steal it, you get in trouble. And that's really the only thing that makes it valuable anymore. So pose that if a private company comes to a bunch of people and says, look, the average emergency room visit is $9,000. What if you need two of those between the time you're 25 and the time you're 40? If you buy this insurance plan, you will only in premiums spend half that much, but we will still cover your emergency. But if somebody wants to buy that policy, they should be allowed to buy that policy. But if somebody
let me say this, Duke. I'm not against someone getting supplemental privatized insurance on top of whatever the government has set up. I'm absolutely for that. If you want to do that, you should have that option. The marketplace should be there for someone wanting that type of a situation. But I do want to address the idea of capital and wealth. And that is a very, very big thing to me. Yes, I'm the liberal gladiator, but I'm not, you know, the typical liberal in by any sense of the word. And the difference to me between capital and wealth is that wealth, according to Adam Smith, in the wealth nation, was defined as shipyards, board feet of lumber, value-added products and things of that sort. You know, how many ships do you have? How many mills do you have? How many textile mills do you have? How many people are working? What do they make? That is the wealth of the nation. It wasn't the pounds and sterling that mattered. It was the shipyards. And what he was able to say, and this is the idea of capital, he's never even used the word capitalism, but the idea of capital really is one that considers it a tool to measure the actual wealth, whether it's gold, silver, doubloons, drachmas, or dollars. It really didn't matter too much. And you can liken it in a very simple way between the mile marker sign measuring the highway, telling you how many miles you've gone, and the highway. The highway is much more valuable than the mile marker signs. And that is a fundamental difference between where I stand and I think many liberals stand, and I think that many conservatives see it the other way around, that money is more important than the actual wealth it measures. And I think that definition is something that people need to take a look at. It's really, really important that we as Americans understand what capital is for and how it works and how it flows. And I think that's one of the most important things that Americans can do, is simply understand that relationship. So when you, every single day, you spend capital probably on something, whether it's a cup of coffee, whether it's a gym membership, whether it's a steak, whether it's your house, gasoline, or whatever. You trade capital for actual wealth, and it's a trade that everyone does every single day, one way or another. And it's because the actual wealth is something that you want more than the paper money in your pocket. It's nice if you can save more paper money, but what you can't do is use that paper money to buy a glass of water in Death Valley very easily, unless you're Furnace Creek. But if you're trapped out there, the money doesn't matter. You don't have any wealth because you're stuck. You need water, and all the money in the world is not going to help you. But the wealth that you would actually value in that situation would be that glass of water. And I think the Americans, if we focus on that glass of water more, then we can actually get more people working, and we can use capital to our advantage to really get people to innovate and invent and do what Americans do best, all the way from Eli Whitney's cotton gin and from him setting up a standardized method of making muskets. I think they were muskets, maybe rifles, back around 1803 or so, and going all the way to Westinghouse and air brakes and going all the way up to the telephone, to telegraph, Morse, Wilbur and Orville Wright in a plane, our Manhattan Project. You know, maybe some people aren't too happy about that, but Americans have been absolute very front of invention and thinking. You know, those inventors, it took time for them to be able to figure out how to do those things, and they created wealth. And that allowed Americans to be more productive. And as we put in things like dams, and we put in roads, and we put in, and we brought in K-12 schools so people could think better, you know, work smarter, work longer, and with better health, we're able to work longer, live longer, and be around our families. I think those are things that are, that is actual wealth to me.
Ed, I'm going to ask you to stand by just a moment here. I've got to mention our hundreds of things, and then you and I are going to be right back together. You know, there is probably nothing that an American would consider to be as outrageous as the idea of an innocent person being wrongfully convicted for a crime they didn't commit. But, as they say, sunshine is the best disinfectant. We at Conservative Nation Media are very proud to welcome A Just Cause with Sam Thurmond and Cliff Stewart to Tuesday nights on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Sam and Cliff take a hard look at what happens when the wheels of justice trample the rights of innocent Americans. These are real cases of real people who are actually innocent but who were wrongfully convicted. Join us for A Just Cause Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Ed, as far as shipyards, board feet of lumber being wealth and capital being simply a way of measuring it, I understand that. I think that when people begin, however, in the modern world, begin thinking that it is the goods that are important, not the money that is used to quantify them, the next leap is going to take us back to the 1940s with Karl Marx believing that there could be a society in which if you need a can of peas, you go to the store and you take it off the shelf and you walk out. A society in which everyone is motivated by their desire to do good for their fellow man, not for themselves. And I simply don't believe that human nature works that way. As a matter of fact, I'm positive that it does not work that way. And I'm not sure how we're going to be able to get anybody to, I mean, this is why the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore. Turned its back on communism,
right.
why the Cubans are starving, you know, and the North Koreans, because that kind of thinking doesn't work. You've got to realize that, you know, money actually means something. And it
might not have value
when you're out in Death Valley or the Mojave Desert and there's nobody there to sell you a bottle. I understand that, but you know, elsewhere it does.
Well, no. You know what, Duke? I mean, you're bringing up absolutely valid points that I agree with 100%. There should be a very powerful incentive to help yourself. And absolutely. There's no question about it. And listen, one of my economic heroes is Andrew Carnegie. And, people call him a robber baron. And I think to myself, okay, most people in the East Coast and in the upper Midwest are drinking water came through the pipeline that this steel company, Carnegie Steel, made in the 1860s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and up to 1913, when he took a check from, John Pierpont Morgan for $392 million. And the equivalent today would be in the $300 to $500 billion in today's money, and Carnegie was able to do. I do not begrudge Andrew Carnegie one dime that he ever got, because the amount of wealth he added to this country through his efforts is far exceeds what he was paid. I think about the sanitation, improved sanitation has saved probably millions of lives that were able to go on many, many years longer. the contribution that those millions of people were able to make those extra years added to the wealth. I don't begrudge inventors getting paid. I want them to get paid. But what I don't want to do, I don't want people to get paid for doing nothing. If you're not adding wealth, creating wealth, adding value, in, you know, through inventions, innovations, work, then I don't believe you should be getting paid except and only because we care as people, as American people who are down on their luck. When there's a natural disaster, we step up to the plate like no other country has ever done to help people in disasters because we are good people. We are good, caring, and loving people. We step up. We save kids in Somalia. We've saved the people in Haiti. We've saved people in New Orleans. We've saved people in here in Colorado. We had these horrible floods a few months ago. We are fantastic about that. So I want people to understand that where I'm coming from, those things never, ever go away. I just want to make sure that people are able to get paid for doing things that are good for the country. Carnegie and Rockefeller, they could be called robber barons all you want, but they created a huge amount of wealth, and because of what they did, they were able to really add to the wealth and productivity of this country far more than any compensation they ever got. That is absolutely fundamentally critical in a way that I think is a liberal to the well-being of this country. And I think that it's important that we have more people like them. And I think Steve Jobs did a great job with Apple. I would like to see more of the productivity, production facilities here in the United States with Apple. But there's plenty of people like that who are doing really good things. And, there's sometimes a very fine line between what someone calls liberal and what someone calls conservative. But I realize that you and I are both American patriots. We love our country. We're going to see things a different way. But I think in the end result, we see kind of the same vision, just a slightly different path on how to get there. You and I share much more in common than I do with anybody, who was a Soviet or someone that supported the gulags or the Cultural Revolution in China. I have nothing but contempt for those systems as they existed. Nothing at all. Nothing for them at all. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Well, I agree with you, and they were horrible. Now, I'm going to ask you if you can just stand by for a moment. We do have to take a quick break, and I will be back with Ed Troy. We are discussing the various benefits of liberalism versus conservatism. Your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So tell, baby, tell true heart.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Books here along with my friend Ed Troy. Ed is in Colorado, and we are discussing liberalism versus conservatism. Ed, the primary reason that I am opposed to Obamacare is I look at it from a supply and demand point of view. You're going to have, estimates are anywhere between 20 and 25 million new patients in this country, but Obamacare makes no plan and makes no provision to increase the number of physicians, surgeons, nurses, and other medical professionals. When demand like that goes up, whereas supply remains the same, the price should go up. But Obamacare fixes the rate at which physicians can be paid. It even fixes, if somebody applies for medical school right now, and they're 21 or they're 22, they're a senior in college or something, they want to go to medical school, their dad was a physician, he had a radiology practice, their granddad had a radiology practice, and now this young person wants to go to medical school and follow in the family business and be a radiologist, they will not be allowed to make that choice for themselves. Government will tell you in what field you may practice. They are now going to tell you how much you can be paid, how much you can charge the insurance companies or patients, things of that nature. And when government starts monkeying around with supply and demand, what happens? Nothing good. So I really just want them out of it. I mean, they're going to have to ration medical care, and that's why it's going to be very much the same thing here as it is in Canada, which is, yes, we see you've got a broken arm, but that'll be fine for a couple of days. We can't fit you in until Tuesday. Can you come back on Tuesday next? Or we know you need a hip replacement, but we're not going to be able to do that for 6 or 8 months. If you're still around then, we'll take a look at your case again. In other words, access to a waiting list is not an acceptable substitute for access to actual health care. And frankly, that's what we're going to get because that's what they've got in every country in the world that has some form of socialized medicine, single-payer medicine, government-provided medicine, anything along the – there is simply no way around it. And you know enough about supply and demand to know that.
Well, yeah, yes, I do. But I do want to say this, and, you know, I'm not a Canadian. I mean, I lived up there for a short period of time, but there were no waiting lists for, you know, any kind of acute – medical conditions or trauma. Those are seen just like any, you know, in fact, they are genuine emergencies as opposed to some of the non-emergencies treated in emergency clinics here. So in emergency, you know, my experience with emergency stuff with my friends in Canada was that if you had a problem, you went in and it was a genuine emergency. In the United States here, because so many people don't have any kind of insurance or health care plan. They wait until there is an artificially induced crisis where it now becomes an emergency, then they go in. Or in some cases, they just go in because they have a little cold or the sniffles or something. That is does not happen in Canada. You don't go, I don't want to say it doesn't happen at all, but it's a very rare thing that something like that happened up in Canada with that type of thing. You don't have any rationing of treating broken arms and that sort of thing. Now, a hip replacement, because it's not an acute thing, but it is, for some people, very harsh. It is very difficult. You can be in a situation where you do have to end up waiting if you want the government to take care of it. But even in those circumstances, you can always get it privately if you want it to happen sooner rather than later. And so you do have the option. Having government care does not preclude or eliminate, it's not a mutually exclusive situation, not either or. What it is something that's set up so that if you are in a situation where you go in, you get your screenings, you get your blood tests, you get, tested for your prostate, get tested for your cholesterol and that kind of thing, and they see that, wow, you may have some kind of problem, and we need to get this addressed. For instance, George Bush went in, and they found out he had the Widowmaker, which is a blockage in one of his coronary arteries.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's an occult symptom. You don't know what happens until you go in, bang, and then you've got about 10 minutes to get your butt to a hospital and get carved open and get the blockage removed, or you are dead. And that's
I know all about it.
It's an absolute horror. Now, that's the type of thing that screening would actually take care of had George Bush gone in, say, a couple of years ago. They might have noticed instead of being a 95% blockage, it may be it was a 70% blockage or a 50% blockage. And I'm aware that he used to work out a lot, so he may have felt, no worries, I don't need to even bother going in. Whereas a lot of people in these other countries that I'm more familiar with, such as Canada and Norway, people just go in routinely and just get it checked, make sure that they're okay, then they walk out and they get the results. That kind of preventive care is scheduled, and so they can see, trends that are happening with your blood glucose, your blood sugar, if you will. But they can see things with your triglycerides. They can see things with your arterial plaques. They can see things with some of the metabolites that are caused by cancer and so forth. And it can shut those things out and say, hey, wow, you've got a problem. We're going to nip this in the bud. You can live another 30 years and keep producing and creating wealth for this country. To see that for America, I really would, because as an American patriot, I think it's very important that American citizens are considered the most important resource that our country will ever have. More important than capital, and even more important than the capital, than the wealth that they create. It's who they are, and I want them to be around for their loved ones. I want them to be healthy. I want them to be productive. I want them to be educated, and I want them to contribute to society as much as they possibly can. Those are important things to me as a liberal and as a patriot, and I think you would probably agree with me. You want to see American citizens really healthy and productive, don't you?
Well, let me first ask you, do you have a few minutes to hang? Can you hang with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, I've got to take a break, and I'm going to answer Ed's question in a moment when we come back, so stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that.
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right. Which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America, the Wednesday, October 16th edition thereof. We're already about 7 minutes into the second hour. Let me welcome back my good buddy Ed Troy, who is known far and wide as the liberal gladiator. He believes in peace so much he's going to fight and beat the daylights out of anybody that doesn't. Is that about right, Ed?
No? Well,
okay.
No, we don't want to beat the daylights out of anyone if we don't have to.
Right.
I do want to bring up this idea that, you know, this country is in an absolute asymmetric competition with China and the other BRICS for economic, you know, kind of like supremacy, getting the quote high ground. And you know, when I read the biography of Confucius and his Analects, it became very clear to me that the synthesis of that and capitalism produced absolutely very, very brutal type of a system that is completely ruthless, and you know, pretty much considers a person expendable to whatever means is necessary for the country to prosper. And their methodology right now for competing against us is taking our money through our bonds and taking money through our billionaires who are sending it over there for a better return on investment of their capital and developing their industries instead of American industries. And they're investing heavily in education so they can produce more engineers and increase their productivity, which, of course, they're able to then use as a blunt force economic weapon to beat us. That is an asymmetric type of competition because traditionally China has not had expansion, wars of expansion, if you will. The last time was in the 50s, conquering Tibet, which I think was a horrible thing, unfortunately. But before then, you have to go back.
They didn't pay any price for that. You know, pity
no,
that they didn't
they
pay any
no
price for it. They paid no price for it. You know, I think the Dalai Lama is under something like a constant death threat. You know, if he says the wrong thing, they may take him out. But anyway, go on with your point.
Right, and so America is going to have to understand that it's not just wars, and it's not just, you know, that type of thing, or you know, getting on any president of ours, I don't care who it is, getting him on a bully pulpit and saying we're great because we're Americans. We need to be great that allows us so that we can pridefully say and honestly say we are American. And we need to do great things so that we can be American. And that is something that the Chinese are, you know, implementing. They are looking for people to contribute to their society, and they are enticing them with as much as they can, and, yes, creating many new millionaires. In fact, more now every year are produced in China than are here in the United States. And to some degree, I think that's due to the fact that they're producing somewhere in the range of 6 to 7 times as many engineers every year as we are. Plus, they send some of their kids over to our superior university system here. And then they go
which
back
they
to
should
China.
Be allowed to do. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, why we are so intent on turning over all of our hard-won knowledge, simply giving it away to other people on this planet, many of whom come from nations that hate us, I don't get it. You're up to me, American colleges, you must be an American citizen in order to go to school here. In fact, I might even go further than that. I might say, both of your parents must be American citizens, and they must have been born in this country. Otherwise, you're not allowed to go to college here. I mean, that's the way I would do it. Ed, stand by with me for just a moment, if you will, because I need to just want to tell some people about a couple of things. You know, we are really ramping up conservativenationmedia.com. I speak to a lot of people every day. As you may be aware, I'm the general manager of this network now. And people are telling us that we sound professional and more than other shows do, more than other networks do on the Internet. I'm very happy about that. I love conservative Internet radio. And if you like it as much as we do, then you probably already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying the conservative message on the net for years, and now they're here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis, with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun thrown in for good measure. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Let me get back to my friend Ed. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, pal. You and I have been very good friends for a very long time, have slightly different perspectives on things. But I am very glad to hear you say that you love America because, frankly, you're one of the only self-described liberals that says that. The majority of the liberals that I know and I have met think that America has a lot more wrong with it than it does right. And I do not share that view. I think we're the greatest nation of all time, and I want to keep it that way.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think we just see things just as, you know, in some cases, like I said, I think there's a very fine line between what one would call liberal and what one would call conservative. And, you know, honestly, I think that we also need to take a look at the idea within what is generally called conservative now is markedly different than what was called conservative in the 70s and the 60s. And we've got this new legion of people that have come into the, quote, conservative umbrella, unquote, that I would actually call classic reactionaries, where they're not really conservative. they're reactionaries, and the true conservative thinking conservative, like the William F. Buckley type of guy, someone like Edward Teller, who was the father of the American hydrogen bomb, and those thinkers back then would not have cared at all for the modern reactionary personified by what us liberals take a look at as, someone like, say, Sarah Palin, or someone along those lines, or Michelle Bachmann. And I personally feel as though that even Senator Ted Cruz, who may be very brilliant within, the legal system and his ability to use language, he's a very skilled speaker, very skilled orator, and very principled. I'm not going to take that away from him. But it appears as though somehow when he goes outside of that he really is out of touch with what I would consider to be true conservative ideals, where there is the idea of you've got personal responsibility, which is something I agree with, where you have the idea that your country really does matter. I don't think that shutting down, attempting to shut down the government or even playing this high-stakes game is good for the economy and good for American business. These are scary things. Wall Street does not like these kinds of things in general. And I think it's important that we have a strong conservative counterweight to my position as a liberal, because if we don't have strong conservatives, then we liberals can end up being very sloppy. And if you conservatives don't have strong liberals to bounce ideas off of, then you're being very sloppy. And I think this is what's happened, is that the Tea Party reactionaries have come in, and they have acted like a virus infecting the body politic of the Republican Party. And I think this is a very unfortunate thing, because I think in the upcoming elections that the Republican Party is going to suffer egregiously if they don't cure themselves of this really political pathogen that needs to really be quashed as quickly as possible, so that responsible thinking conservatives can come up and say, hey, look, you liberal guys, we think that we need to balance out some of your liberal ideas, perhaps with more, as I said, personal responsibility, more of a sense of service to the well-being of the country, to the Commonwealth. And those things are conservative ideas. And I think that having fiscal responsibility is an important thing, and being fiscally even conservative in some ways is very, very important, because there should be absolute justification for appropriations for money, and that case always needs to be made. And that's what conservatives traditionally were exceedingly good at. And now it's just, okay, we're reactionaries, and, if you say this, we're going to say something else. It's the exact opposite. If you say, we just said, then we're going to change our mind and say something else. That is not really solving problems. It's just, it's going round and round, ring around the rosy, pockets full of posy, and we all fall down dead because we're, getting the plague from, people not having health care. I think it's really important that Americans see that we are reasonable, and you and I, are reasonable people. We're having a civil discussion here, civil discourse, and I think a really good dialogue, so that your conservative listeners can see that not every liberal is just a shrieking, goofball, and hopefully my liberal friends will listen to this and they'll realize that there are conservatives like you who are very reasonable and very capable of conveying your thoughts in a real intelligent and coherent manner. That is critical, because we don't hear that as liberals right now, because the media is putting people like Ted Cruz and Michelle Bachmann and these other outliers that are reactionaries that aren't, to me, truly conservative. They're just kind of almost like nut jobs. It's like, conservatives in the past, you say that, we're commies and things like that. I'm not a communist. I don't support that at all. I mean, those guys had kulaks and, to prison camps and labor camps. You know, I don't support that stuff. That's not belong in the liberal left in any way, shape, or form. I want this country to succeed. I want this country to do things like put man on the moon again. I want this country to be able to proudly say, yes, our economy won World War II. I want our country to say that, yes, our system was so good that the Soviet model collapsed because of its own inefficiencies compared to ours. I want our country to succeed better than it has ever succeeded before, and I want it to succeed as soon as possible. And I think that it's important that we take a look at our future by looking at our past and taking a look at our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. And I'll say this as a liberal, perhaps the most powerful document that has ever been written was our Declaration of Independence. Because
it's a pretty good one.
Oh my God! It's actually, in some ways, it's the most radical document that has been written, and you know, really in a very liberal. It was called the Enlightenment, Age of Enlightenment. It was the pinnacle of that, where people are saying, okay, how do we govern ourselves? Are we gonna have a king, dictator, oligarchy, aristocracy, and Washington and Madison and Hamilton. Jefferson and Paine rejected all that kind of stuff. He rejected the Machiavellian methods
I know they did. Yeah, they did. You know, I'm sure, and we're going to have to go because I've got Christian calling in from Copenhagen, and I've got some commercials I need to take care of. But let me leave you with this. Number one, it's as great to talk to you now as it was back in the 1980s when we first became friends. Number two, I hope we can do it again. And number three, you are correct about the Declaration of Independence. It certainly mentions that all men are created equal, but in reality, no men remain equal. That's just some food for thought for next time. So let's set this up again
super quick thing, Duke. This is really important. We have something that no other country has a right to, and that is the right to pursue happiness. No other country has that as an inalienable right anywhere but our country. That is so powerful, I can't even begin to tell you in words. People, read it yourself, and maybe you'll understand why I'm a liberal.
Well, we'll talk about this again sometime real soon, Ed.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you so much for having me on your show. And I want to thank your listeners.
My pleasure, pal.
And we'll talk again. So just let me know when you'd like to have another interview. Maybe
all right,
we can
buddy.
Do this here and there.
All right. I'll be
take
talking
it.
To you soon. Thanks a lot, pal. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Duke.
All right, now then, it is time for us to take a break, and when we come back, Christian from Denmark will be joining us, so stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Military is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Military offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Military at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Military, and thank you for your service.
Alrighty, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. And that music, of course, Ashokan Farewell, means it's time to check back about 150 years into some Civil War history. Christian from Denmark will be joining us in just a moment. He has been very patient, and he shall be rewarded. October 16th was a Friday in 1863, and as always, this is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. October 16th, 1863, U.S. Grant to command new division of the Mississippi. Orders from Washington created the Military Division of the Mississippi, combining the departments of the Ohio, the Cumberland, and the Tennessee, with General U.S. Grant in command. Grant had been ordered from Vicksburg to Cairo, Illinois. Secretary of War Stanton himself was on his way west to see Grant. Although things were quiet in Virginia, skirmishes erupted at Grand Coteau, Louisiana, Fort Brooke, Florida, near Island Number 10 in Tennessee, at Treadwell's near Clinton and Vernon Crossroads, Mississippi, and at Pungo Landing, North Carolina. There is simply too much Civil War history for one person. No one person can possibly know the Civil War. It's impossible. Christian, my friend, how have you been, pal?
I've been great. It's good time over here. And then one at the moment, weather-wise, and also, so I've been doing great. I have a few comments to that liberal guy we just had on.
Yeah, well, you know, Ed is a great guy.
He sounds like a great guy.
He has sort of a collectivist outlook about things. He knows how to make money, and he understands private property, no question about it. But he and I are on completely opposite sides when it comes to the idea that for some reason medical care is something that government has a natural right and a duty to provide to citizens. I simply disagree with that. I just don't agree with that.
You
must have socialized medicine over there in Denmark.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I call in to talk about is that in Denmark we used to be only Danes that lives here before we got a lot of immigrants in the last 20 or 30 years, and so a government-run healthcare system has worked very well in Denmark. You don't have insurances and all everybody from high to low, even when the queen are having their children, it's at a public hospital. That's how it is, and that worked very well. But the last 20 years, when things have changed and there are more Muslims and stuff and people that are coming in, it's a great atmosphere at the government-run hospital. One more are choosing to go to private hospitals. So the private hospital industry is one of the fastest growing industries in Denmark, actually. So that should be interesting. Even Social Democrat top politicians have chosen to go to private hospitals when they get sick. So it is changing over here, but basically it has worked great. But then again, we have been we're a small country, and we're not at all like the America. It's like you can run a little league team in one way, but you can't run the Dallas Cowboys the same way.
Yeah, I understand that. Now, Christian, let me ask you to stand by for just a moment.
Yes.
I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we are going to get back to you. You know, one of the worst things that can possibly happen to an American, besides Obamacare, is identity theft. And if it does happen to you, I hope it never does. It might take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7, 365, there literally is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. You will be glad that you waited. While we take this brief commercial break, more with Christian and me and your calls and everything else under the sun coming up in a moment, so don't go away.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backlash. When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
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 When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, sir, I am very glad the so-called fairness doctrine does not apply here. Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.com. Very, very simple. You know, used to be you would go to the hospital, you're in, you're out, hello, goodbye. Now I've got to be honest with you, I have heard too many things from too many Canadians, Britishers, other Europeans, that the health care provisions in those countries just do not work very well. Christian, in Denmark, if you have the choice, you're going to go to a private hospital and pay a private doctor. Can you get insurance for that, or is that something you just have to shell out of your own pocket?
You can have an insurance. There's actually, as I said earlier, it is one of the most growing markets actually in Denmark. That is the health insurance. So that you can go to private hospitals, and many chooses to do that if they can afford it. But the large part of the population, and actually the most of the population, they can't really afford it because we are taxed so much, so that you don't really have the extra money for it, and you still get an okay treatment, and sometimes you make a very good treatment at the public hospitals. So many people are not really that motivated on changing to private, but the elites are, and the one with the money, they often choose to go private.
Well, like almost anybody else would, you know. I mean, I don't know about you. I just don't think the government can do things particularly well. I think there's some things that the U.S. government can do well. I think winning World War II is one of them. Putting men on the moon is another one.
And the thing is that this...
and airports, that's not bad. But really, anything else, I would say.
But if
no.
I can just say one thing quickly.
Sure.
And that is that many politicians types in America, when they want to persuade the population of the greatness of a public health care system, they point to Denmark. But in Denmark, we are a very small country, and even in Denmark, we pad it out. So it's not the government; it's the regions, which is really only like large cities compared to yours, you know, that are doing it. So it's not that big. So you can kind of control it better because it doesn't get too overwhelming. As it would be, and too bureaucracy, bureaucratic, if it was to be done like that in America, so you can't really compare it. And then when you have a very mixed ethnicity and all that, which also makes it impossible for the white people to money, because basically what a public healthcare system is, that the fit ones, the ones that are youngest and are healthy, they pay for the other ones. And if let's say a group like the blacks gets more sick than the whites, then the whites has to pay extra for their health care, and that wouldn't run in America, I think. It wouldn't really work over there.
Well, it's not going to work here either. Christian, thank you for calling in, my buddy, and I hope we can speak again next Wednesday.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Great night. Always a pleasure to hear from Christian in Denmark. I've been to Denmark. I've been to all the European countries except Greece and Spain and Portugal. I've been to all the other ones. I'm not talking about Central or Eastern European countries because at the time I was over there, the Soviet Union still controlled Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania was still a semi-Soviet satellite. But I loved Denmark. It was a wonderful place. It is a great country. Those are good people over there. They're smart. They got 5 million people in Denmark, which means that for every Dane, there are about 60 Americans. When you have a country that small, not only population-wise, but geographically, you can do things in the country. The people may come up with ideas on their own. However, in a country this size, there are things that government simply cannot and should not do. And getting involved in healthcare is one of them. You know, the entire idea behind it, I think, is I'm trying to think in a charitable way. I can describe the idea of a government-administered healthcare system. I think the only word I can really use is stupid, okay? I mean, you know, when these liberals start going on and on about Obamacare is the greatest thing in the world, it's going to cure all diseases, everybody's going to be healthy, my response to that is basically, you're stupid. And the fact of the matter is, if you and all of the compassion of the IRS, all of the competence of FEMA, all of the post office should be in charge of anything. You should be cautioned against wishing too much for what you want because you just might get it. And the fact of the matter is there are very soon, within the next several months to a year, there are going to be millions upon millions upon millions of new patients that will be seeking medical care. And there are not going to be any new doctors to absorb that demand. It's not going to happen. Because Obamacare limits the earnings and the salaries and increases rates and things for physicians, you are going to see fewer people being interested in medical school. Now, there are some people that will build a great case. They're serious. They're serious. And they will say to you, a doctor's motivation shouldn't be money. It should be the betterment of your fellow man and all this kind of nonsense. You want to know something? I really don't care what a person's motivation is to be a physician or another healthcare worker, professional. As long as they do a good job, I don't care why they decided to be a doctor in the first place. I mean, come on now. What does that matter? It matters to a liberal. It matters a lot to a liberal. I have absolutely no idea why. Why on earth would anyone, care about why a person went into the field that they went into? I don't get it. I have no idea. It's about 17 minutes. As a matter of fact, it is exactly 17 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, the left hates a lot. They do more hating on the left than we do on the right. I guarantee you that. They can't stand, the left can't, they hate the Second Amendment and Americans' right to keep and bear arms. And now there's something else that they're going to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum on conservativenationmedia.com with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. The leftists in D.C. want to disarm the American people, and Max just isn't going to let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I know what the left is all about. They just want absolute power and control. That's why there are left-wing speech codes on college campuses. You're allowed to say that you support the PLO. You are literally not allowed to say that you support Israel. There's more than enough documentation of this. The left does not want certain ideas expressed in the public forum. The left does not want certain things to be said on the radio or on TV or on the airwaves or on the internet. If you're a conservative on Facebook, you have a pretty good idea of what it's like to be censored by a liberal leftist big brother, don't you? By now, I would think so. We are going to take a quick break. More of your calls are coming up, so you stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-9-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Hi there. Welcome back. This is something like the home stretch of this Wednesday, October 16th edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-775-7176. I'm very, very glad that you're making it. No, I'm not going to see Carol Burnett or anything like that. You know, I've heard from a lot of people that Carol Burnett was a and is a very, very nice person. And good person. And I used to like her show. You know, when she would get Harvey Korman and other, you know, cast of sidekicks, and they would get going. It was beautiful. The Carol Burnett show was that was a good show. There's no question about it. And you know, I think she worked her rear end off. Check it out. Carol Burnett. Do you see a behind on there anywhere? I don't. She doesn't have one because she worked it off. No butt. Worked her butt off. It's all gone. And that can happen. You know, I am absolutely certain. And, you know, if you agree or disagree, you give me a call and express your feelings at 718-205-7776. Not about... just about exactly 10 minutes ago in this program. It seems to me I don't think it's disputable, really, that socialism, Marxism, Leninism, all of those economies which not actually economies at all, those are all based on the human of envy and of resentment. And that is where these things are coming from. I spoke with Jake Danishevsky on this program not last week, but the one before, I believe. I'm going to have Jake on the show again very soon. He is a very good guy. Jake explained, this is actually fairly widely known, that Karl Marx was an alcoholic, and Karl Marx's ideas were obviously influenced by his alcoholism. And, you know, if a person has essentially an alcoholic brain, very rarely are going to get good ideas from them. Jake explained that two of Karl Marx's children starved to death because Karl Marx apparently did not have the psychological ability to hold a job. And every once in a while, you run across somebody who may know things, they may be somewhat right, they, you know, they may have good mental traits in some areas, but they are psychologically not capable of holding a job. I've met people like that. Maybe I might have, but I have met people who have just been, you know, no matter what they do, they are just not able to hold on to a job. If they're not always butting heads with the supervisor, they are sure that other people are plotting against them. If it is not I really hate the boss, I can't work here anymore, okay, well, explain to me why you hate him. I just hate him. Okay, has he done anything to you? No, I don't even know the SOB. Okay, so you've never talked to him, but you hate him, and that's why you're going to leave the company. Yeah, I hate him. You can't get along with him. I've met people like this. I think all of them have, at one time or another. And for somebody like that, whose mental horizons are constrained by their emotional outlook towards other people and their envy of other people who are more successful than they are, and their resentment of the fact that other people may have a better life, socialism or communism for them would be perfect. Please stand by. I am, this is going to surprise you, but I actually didn't smoke any cigarettes while I was on the air tonight. Somebody get out the record books. This is from the Weekly Standard via the Drudge Report. And this rolled on the wires this morning at 9 o'clock. This is very interesting. Delaware, that's the state in which I live. I'm broadcasting now from Delaware. Delaware has finally signed up someone for Obamacare. This has caused officials in Delaware to celebrate, according to the AP. Quote, Delaware officials are celebrating the state's first health insurance exchange enrollee. Department of Health and Social Service officials have declared 59-year-old Janice Baker of Selbyville the first confirmed resident to enroll in the marketplace. It opened October 1 as part of the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, which is Obamacare. Baker said Tuesday that she started looking on October 1 and, like many people, made several frustrated attempts to sign up online and spent hours on the phone, but Baker says she had success when she cleared the browsing history cookies and other temporary data on her computer. Secretary Rita Landgraf says there have been glitches in the sign-up process over the past 2 weeks, but upgrades to the system and troubleshooting suggestions should help. Rita Landgraf is the Delaware Secretary of the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services, I think. She's the top welfare bureaucrat in Delaware. I've never met her. I'm sure she's nice. You know, I'm sure she is. I mean, then she could have a very, very good and honest outlook on things. One never knows, but the fact of the matter is there are simply too many people in this country who, at taxpayers' expense, do little or nothing all day long except meaningless papers, watch the clock, twiddle their thumbs, file forms, rubber stamp things, and if they're not doing that, they're trying to come up with a way to prevent American business from actually accomplishing anything. Ed Troy spoke earlier about the idea that he wants to be able to do things, innovate, and get paid for doing that, have a money for it. One of the reasons why we are not really building a lot of cities in this country anymore, we are not really manufacturing as much as we use in this country anymore, is government regulation. I'll give you an example. For several years, I have been involved in the LED lighting industry. And LED light is a light-emitting diode. It's an electronic component. About a quarter of an inch on one side by maybe a tenth of an inch thick. We could make them in this country. We could sell them. We could be the world leader in the manufacture of LED lighting. We're not. You know why? Are OSHA and EPA regulations in this country that if an American LED factory were to suddenly exist, it would be, if you were going to comply with all the regulations, you would not be able to afford to compete against manufacturers and suppliers that are making the exact same product in China because the Chinese know better than to allow environmental regulations to drag anchor behind their economy and have workplace health and safety regulations there to put up barriers in front of the movement of their economy. No environmental regulations in China. There's not even really private property in China. Yeah, you have to buy a car, but that car is not really yours because government, you have the privilege of keeping the car in your possession until and unless government exercises its right to take the car away from you. That is the way many people in this country want this country to be. They think that the people should have only privileges and that government should have rights, and the people that think that call the Tea Party extremists. A little less than 1 minute before the top of the hour, thank you so much for being along tonight. I look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday. Have yourself a wonderful week.